Thanks again for joining us this morning. We really appreciate you carving this time out to be with us. We are grateful that you have chosen to join us so that we might be able together to hear from God and to certainly to be changed and grown by His Word. Thank you to Mark Massey once again for sharing with us such a timely message last week. And so today we continue in that theme of being forged in fire, and we look at biblical friendships as a way of being shaped and molded into the church that Christ would have us be. And so we're going to look at a familiar proverb. In fact, let's just jump right into that. As iron, this is Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Now, if I had been really thinking ahead, I would have brought my knife. I forgot it. But I've got this fancy knife and like a steel rod that you know, like a chef uses, except
professional.
I'm not real like a professional, except I'm not, and I don't know how to use it. But it's an iron rod, and it's obviously a metal knife. And when you do that right, and you know what you're doing, you actually make the knife sharper and better, more useful.
Right.
And so such is the case with friendship, particularly Christian friendship, that we are good for one another. In fact, I say often that we are better together. That's right. Just like me and you.
That's right. We were never meant to do life alone. You say that
sometimes. I have said that before.
We're better together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what we want to say today, one of the main things is that biblical friendships are mutually beneficial. Like they help both people.
Absolutely.
I heard a sermon targeted to teenagers one time, and the speaker was talking, and he was telling this teenager, he's like, you become who you hang out with.
Absolutely.
Like, you become who your friends are. And it struck me because I was like, that's really true. Like, who you hang out with, you start to pick up their habits or the way they talk or their mannerisms even. And even though he was talking to teenagers, guess what, grown-ups? Like, that's true for us too. Like, we have to be wise when we choose our friends, because we are we become who we hang out with. I got it right.
Yes.
Yeah. So we want this to be a thing that's mutually beneficial, where we're both friends are building each other up and not tearing one another down.
Certainly. So to that end, we have discovered wrestled through, and we've come up with sort of four characteristics of biblical friendships or Christian friendships. And this is not exhaustive. This is simply, these look like the top four that first came as we were, sifting through Scripture. And I think the first, accountability, encouragement, loyalty or helpfulness, and sacrifice. Those are sort of those four marks that we come up with, and we're going to kind of walk through those piece by piece to help get a framework or an idea of what it might be like to live into this idea of a biblical friendship. So hopefully we are inspired and sort of, I guess, educated along the way so that Jesus might continue to use us to be better friends.
All right, so let's get started with accountability.
Accountability. You got us a proverb for that?
I got us a proverb for this. This is also from chapter 27 of Proverbs, but verse 6. And it says, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy.
Yes. So what we read here is this word of wisdom says that it is better to be wounded from a friend than to be kissed by the enemy, so to speak. In other words, like, sometimes friends have to say hard things, and they're actually good for us. While our tendency might be to go to wherever, to sort of gravitate toward that person who's saying all the right things, the reality is a true friend, we need to take what they give us, even if it's hard words.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think the idea of flattery, like an enemy will flatter you and say the right thing to maybe manipulate.
Sure.
A real friend is going to say the thing that you need to hear, even if it's hard to hear.
Absolutely.
All so right? Go ahead.
I was going to say, you want to read a few?
Yeah, I was like, we've got a couple of other verses that support this same idea. Mm-hmm. And this one's from Ephesians. And it says, then we'll no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love.
Yeah. So the truth in love. We've heard people say that before. I think one of the things we have to remember that biblical friendships, they require, and I mean essential part of it, is indeed accountability, mutual accountability. And so as part of that, we have to say hard things, but we also have to be reminded we have to do that in love. Like
right.
Those have to go together. You can't just spout off judgments to people without doing life with them. And so we speak the truth in love. I think for me, one of the most clear examples of that is the relationship between David, King David, and a guy named Nathan. Now, if you know much about David, you already know the story of Bathsheba. If you don't, you should go check that up. It's a little bit earlier in...
It's like a soap opera.
It is like a soap opera. So the story of Nathan comes from 2 Samuel chapter 12.
Right.
Back up a few chapters and you can discover Bathsheba. The long story made really, really short is that David made some very scandalous and sinful decisions that hurt a lot of people. And he just went on and sort of tried to cover those up continually until that one day when Nathan shows up and looks at David and says, he gives him a parable first. And now, I'm kind of jumping ahead here. Nathan would have had a decent relationship with David. Nathan and David were, Nathan served in his court as a prophet or an oracle, if you will, to sort of interpret things on behalf of God.
So he would have been familiar to David.
Absolutely
familiar. It wasn't like a stranger coming in.
Absolutely familiar with David, would have had a rapport with him, would have been friends with David. And so Nathan comes in, gives him this parable, and then looks him square in the eye and says, "Dude, that's you." And those words caused harm to David. They wounded him. They hurt him. But the beauty of it is those hard words brought David to a place where he was able to confess and repent of his sins. We read about it. He wrote about it in some of the Psalms. He confesses, he repents, and God is able to transform that in David. And he can do that for us, too, if we will live within this idea of being accountable in our friendships.
Well, since Nathan spoke the truth in love to David, David was able to grow.
Absolutely. And that's an important piece of this. I'm glad you pointed that out. The result of speaking the truth in love, the result of saying hard things in the context of a loving friendship, results in growing in every way like Christ. Like that's incredibly important and beneficial to us.
Yep. So accountability, the first important thing we want to lift up about biblical friendships. The second thing we want to lift up is that they are encouraging.
Yes.
So just as much as you're going to say something hard to your friends,
you've got to also be an encourager
and say something helpful to them too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
You want to read the proverb?
We got a proverb for this too.
Fire off.
Yeah, Proverbs 27:9 says, "The heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense."
That's right. So the
pleasing.
The good words from a friend, the encouragement of a friend, smell good. which I would say that, words that are not so encouraging or that are not so heartfelt are
stinky.
That's right. Smell good, don't stink. Be nice.
Yeah, so we want to encourage one another and point out the good things you see about your friends. Like, tell them when they're doing a good job. If they're having a hard time, like, come and encourage them. Say, you can do this. Like, you've got God's given you everything you need to be able to do this.
Yeah, and I would even say, too, it's more than just saying, that shirt doesn't make you look quite as fat as you are. No, I'm kidding. Like saying you look nice or something, like it's more than just a compliment.
Right.
It is seeing where God is at work in someone's life, where they're getting it right, where they're living faithfully, recognizing that, call it out and elevate it as important as it truly is.
Yeah.
That's encouragement.
And I wanted to point out that we're not the first people to think of this one.
Correct.
This is in Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good work." So motivate here is kind of the same as encourage one another to these acts. You might have heard this before, spur one another on towards acts of love.
When we speak that into people, we advance the gospel, we help them, we encourage them on.
Yep, and one more in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, "So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing."
Yes, which I think this is really clever. Paul writes this, he says, "I want you to encourage everybody."
Uh-huh.
And you're already doing a good job.
He's encouraging them.
He is. And I think, but I mean, can I just jump in here and talk about Paul for a minute?
Go for it.
Like Paul is the, I don't know, I've read Paul's letters and some of the things he says are really, really difficult. They're cutting straight to the quick. He's calling people out. He's telling them they're living in sin, But then he also identifies the places where God's at work, and he recognizes that, and he blesses them. Like, he is an incredible encourager. Like, right here, like, I want you to encourage everybody. And you're already doing a great job at it. Just keep up the good work. But when he finishes out his letters, you know, he always just, I don't know, builds up in a way that's incredibly beautiful. And I think that's a clear picture of a biblical friendship, of what it means to have that kind of encouragement in your relationship.
Yeah, and in a lot of those letters, he calls people by name to encourage them. Like, tell this person they're doing a good job. Tell this person to keep up whatever they're doing. So.
Yes, indeed.
All right, so accountability, encouraging. The next one is loyal/helpful. And maybe we should have called this like faithful or supportive. I love the word loyalty when we're talking about friendship.
So. Sure.
But we're combining the idea of being loyal to somebody with the idea that when somebody's having a hard time, that you're going to carry that person's burdens.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
So our proverb for this one.
Is there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. You may have heard that before, but a real friend sticks closer than blood kin. In other words, when you have that person in your life, when you have this biblical friendship, you know that come thick, come thin, this person's going to be with me. Like, we are, nothing is going to separate us. Nothing's going to come between us. I'm going to walk with you no matter how hard the road gets.
Yeah. So back to the Apostle Paul for a minute. In Galatians, he wrote this to that church. He said, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly," very important words, "gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ."
Yeah, and I find this so clever from Paul. He says, you know, if you find somebody straying off the beaten path, like, go get them humbly and gently. Yeah. Like, these are
humbly and gently.
Yeah, these are marks of a true and honest friendship, and help them back onto the right path. Don't get caught up in that yourself, but don't just leave your brother out there hanging. Go after them. I think of Jesus and the sheep and the prodigal son. Like, don't. He's not content just to let, like, loyalty is incredible.
One of my very favorite stories in the Bible is the story of Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. And this is in the Old Testament. In the story, they start out, Ruth marries Naomi's son. Naomi's husband is there. There's another daughter-in-law and son, and everybody's happy. And just when you think everybody's going to live happily ever after, all the fellas die.
Yeah.
Naomi's husband dies, Ruth's husband dies, the other brother dies, and these ladies are left on their own. And Naomi looks at Ruth and the other daughter-in-law and says, "Go back to your own family, try to get a fresh start." And the one daughter-in-law takes her up on it and says, "All right, I'll go back." But Ruth doesn't. She's like, "No, I'm sticking with you. I'm choosing you." And she, this is a famous passage from that story, and it says, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." So as the story unfolds, Ruth makes all these sacrifices to go back with Naomi to her homeland, and she basically takes care of her mother-in-law. She's so loyal to her, she's not going to leave her at all, and she's going to help her all along the way, even if it costs her personally. Yeah. So this is a story that I love that I think really illustrates what it means to be loyal and faithful to your friend.
Absolutely.
And to choose a friend. They weren't related, right?
Sure.
She was a true friend.
Closer than blood relation.
Yeah.
Exactly. And no matter where you go, I'm going. You go there, I'm going there. I'm with you. I think for me, like, one of my favorite, examples in the Bible of faithful friends is the guys who lower the paralyzed man down into the roof. And so Jesus is teaching, he's preaching, he's in this house, and there's a man on a mat who's paralyzed. And so some men came, friends, came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to see Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof, they took off some tiles, They lowered the sick man on the mat down into the crowd from the ceiling, right in front of Jesus. I would have loved to have been part of that conversation with those those guys that were, you know, they obviously had a heart for their friend who was paralyzed. And by being paralyzed, essentially he was, I guess, confined to the world of begging. Like he couldn't work, couldn't provide. And so he just begged. And so these, his friends, were willing to take, I mean, what are your friends willing to do for you? How loyal are your friends? Well, we're called to be loyal and we're called to help our brother out. And so they, I guess, devised a plan. Well, we won't be outdone, right? We'll just hop right up there on the roof and drop him down through, and it worked. It worked. And that's another sermon for another day. Like, what are we willing to do to get somebody to Jesus?
Yeah.
Amen. Tune in a few weeks, maybe. Who knows? So we've got accountability. We've got encouragement. And we've got loyalty and or helpfulness. So finally, what do we got?
Sacrificial. Yep. And if you didn't guess already, we're pointing to Jesus now.
That is true.
Right?
It's always good to wind up pointing to Jesus.
So this is a passage that is from the book of John, where Jesus has been talking to his followers and telling them about how he says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Yep. And in that he goes on and it says this one. You want to read that
one? Yeah. So you got the vine and the branches. Jesus is saying, you remain in me, I'll remain in you, or you abide in me and I'll abide in you. And he says, this is my commandment that I'm giving to you. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. In fact, there's no greater love than to lay one's life down for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. No, now you are my friends, since I have told you everything that the Father has told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you, and I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love each other. I love that whole passage about the remaining and the abiding, but Jesus looks at his disciples and those around him, and he says, you are not my slaves. You are my friends. I've revealed to you the Father. I've shown myself to you. There's nothing I have that you don't know. You are my friends. And the greatest love that a friend can have for someone else is that he would lay his life down. And then, of course, Jesus exemplifies that in the greatest way, by dying our death, paying for our sin, giving himself up so that we might have life. And you and I are called to live into biblical friendship. We are called to sacrifice. We're called to give ourselves up. Now, I don't think that we're going to wind up having to climb on a cross. Jesus is already taking care of that. But if we're going to truly love one another, like Jesus has commanded us, we are called to give ourselves up for the sake of someone else. That is true and honest biblical friendship.
Yeah, so what we want to challenge you to do is, in your own friendships that you already have, to take a look at those and maybe take them to the next level. Like, find ways you can be accountable with your friends.
Yes.
Find ways to encourage them. Find ways where you can be loyal. How can you carry somebody else's burden? How can you support them or be faithful? Yep. And then how can you make a sacrifice? Like, where can you lay yourself down to lift somebody else up?
Absolutely. This idea of a biblical friendship, I think, is incredibly pertinent to where we are right now as a people in our nation, with everything that's going on. We can be friends. And if we're going to be true friends with one another, we need to find people that we can be accountable to, that are going to be able to say hard things, help us see things that we're not seeing.
How to speak the truth in love.
Help to speak the truth in love. We've got to find folks who are going to encourage us. There are hard days ahead. We need folks who are speaking encouragement. We need to speak encouragement to those who are having a tough time. And then also, we need to help folks. Sometimes you've got to lend a hand. You've got to actually grab somebody and take them up on the roof and make it happen. And then finally, we've got to give ourselves up. It's not about me anymore. And so there are ways, I believe, for us to grow in this that not only are going to make us better for one another, but I believe this will continue to point people toward Jesus when we start living and acting like he did.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to say about that was, in the beginning, you know, I was saying, I heard that sermon where, where kids were told, you know, you're going to become who you hang out with.
Yeah.
You're going to become who your friends are. if you want to make Jesus your friend, you're going to become more like him.
Yes.
And that really reminds me, this past week we've been doing Vacation Bible School with at our house. You know, yes. Hopefully if you guys participate in Vacation Bible School, you're able to watch those videos with your kids. But there was videos for elementary kids, and then there was videos for preschool kids.
Yeah.
The elementary kids get a different lesson every day, kind of like with the different takeaway. Every single day for the preschools, it ended with the idea, with the lesson of Jesus wants to be your friend forever. Yes. And that's the point they're just trying to drive home to these little kids. It's like, if we can tell you one thing, we want to tell you that Jesus wants to be your friend forever. And I want to say that to you too. Likely you're not in preschool anymore if you're still watching our video up to this point. But Jesus wants to be your friend forever, no matter how old you are.
Yeah.
And the more you hang out with him, the more you're going to become like him.
Yes. So, we have one of our own preschoolers coming in to join us. Benji, we almost made it to the end, didn't we? Can you come hang out with us for just a second while we pray for these people? Okay.
Like, Grinch is not mean at all. He's just friendly.
He's friendly.
The Grinch is friendly.
Thank you for telling us that.
Okay. Well, maybe Benji's not going to join us, but we certainly want to encourage you in your friendships, and we want to encourage you to remind one another daily that Jesus loves you, and he loves your friends, and he wants to be your friend forever. Your kids are sometimes distracting. But it's all good. Hey, we love you guys. We miss you. Let me pray for you as we move forward in this day. God, thank you so much for your love and your grace that abound in our lives, even in the darkest of hours. God, we know that you are at work. Just because we can't always see you at work doesn't mean you're not working. And so we ask, Lord, that you would come right now. And for all of us gathered here and wherever we are, Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit. That you would enable us to live into this biblical model of what it means to truly be friends. That we would be hold folks accountable, but that we would also become accountable ourselves. That we would invite people in to speak the truth and love to us. And God, that you would lead us to a place where we encourage one another and where we are encouraged. And God, that you would also help us to be loyal. Help us to be faithful, not only to you, but to one another. And then finally, Lord, that you would help us come to a place where we give ourselves up for the sake of one another. And we believe if we do that, the world will see you and they'll know you through the life that we live. But we can only do that, God, if you would help us. And so come. Come now, Holy Spirit. Fill us, use us, and move us beyond ourselves that we might be for the world your presence with them, that we might reveal to them Christ as we live our lives in accordance to your will for us. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Have a great week. We'll see you back next Sunday.